County's only live call-in talk show. It's your turn on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's your turn, 724-283-2525. And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey.
Good afternoon once again, everyone. Welcome. Nice to have you with us. Tuesday edition of It's Your Turn. Not as nice a looking day as yesterday. Boy, that sunshine was nice yesterday, wasn't it? Made it feel warmer than it really was. We were in the mid-30s, so it was pretty nice in the afternoon. Today, mostly gloomy. We may see a little bit of sun pop out, but I'm not sure. Certainly haven't seen much so far. And it's a little chillier, too. So we'll make our own sunshine on the inside here today. On the It's Your Turn program, we're going to be talking later today about adult literacy here. There are programs to help people who need help with reading as adults. At Butler County Community College, we'll talk about the programs out there a little bit later. But first on the agenda today, Sing Hosanna and their Winter Dinner Theater. Ralph Christie Jr. is here. He's the founder and the longtime director of the Sing Hosanna Productions. Ralph, good to see you.
Same here. Thank you.
Happy New Year.
Oh, same to you, Dave.
A little late on that, I guess.
Yeah,
but
it's okay. Well,
15th of January. We're halfway through January already.
Can you believe that?
No complaints here about that.
Not complaining about the weather so far.
Yeah. So I was asking Ralph when he and our other guests, we'll meet them in just a moment or so, that came into the studio, have you been doing a winter dinner theater for some time? And you said, actually, you've changed the date of it recently, haven't you?
We did. We used to do it the first weekend in December, and then it just got too busy for everybody. So we thought, we'll try something in January because there's not too much to do. Mm-hmm. And praise the Lord, the weather has been good for the last 3 years that we've done it. And I don't know about this weekend, but...
Well, I don't know. We'll see. When they start talking a week in advance, I kind of get a little...
Right.
I'm a little doubtful, so we'll wait and see how the weather turns out. So what's the name of the show?
This is a really cute show. It's about an hour long. It's called What Happened After Once Upon a Time. And the storyline is about some storytellers who come in, and they're going to tell nine fairy tale stories. So they begin and they start telling the traditional story that we all know. Well, then all of a sudden the characters will come out and say, no, that's not how it happened at all. And then they all tell their version of the story. It's very, very funny.
We have a couple of members of the cast with us as well. Let's say hello first of all to Isaac Hickson. Isaac, nice to meet you. Nice to have you here today.
Nice to meet you too.
You are one of the storytellers, I guess?
Huh? No, I'm not. I play Hansel and Gretel, and I also play the Cinderella's fairy godmother.
I have a little secret for you, Isaac. I once played Hansel in a production of Hansel and Gretel.
That's very cool.
Yeah. So do you... I wore shorts. What are the German shorts called?
Liegenhose or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. Lederhosen. And I had the fancy suspenders and everything. Do you have any of that sort of an outfit? Or?
No, not really.
Just shorts and a shirt.
Well, that's Hansel stuff, you know. Also with us is your younger brother. That's Quentin Hickson. Quentin, nice to meet you. Nice to have you here today, my friend.
Nice to be here.
What grade are you in, Quentin?
Third grade.
Where do you go to school?
Evan City Elementary.
Oh, that's part of the Seneca Valley School District, right? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Isaac, are you attend that same school?
Yeah, I go to Evan City Middle School.
Mm-hmm. What grade are you in?
I'm in sixth grade.
Well, that means you'll probably be switching schools next year, huh?
Yeah, I will be.
Going to, I don't know what they call it at Seneca Valley, junior high.
Middle school?
I don't know.
It's different in every school district.
Yeah. It's the Ryan Goyer Middle School is what they're calling it.
I see. But it'll be a new building for you, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Are you looking forward to that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of nice to get out of the elementary building, I guess, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, Quentin, what part are you playing in this show? What do you do?
I play Dopey from Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs.
One of the dwarfs, huh?
Yeah, and also I play one of the pigs from the Three Little Pigs.
Mm-hmm. Well, you don't look like a dopey to me. You look like you're pretty smart.
What's one of your lines that you do? Do one of your lines.
Okay, so one of my lines is this. Duh, sounds good to me.
Well, you're a pretty good actor for third grade. That sounds a little more dopey. Are there the other dwarfs, too, in addition to you?
Well, the other dwarves, they talk squeaky, and I talk low.
I see.
Yeah, there's six other ones.
Six other ones. The seven dwarfs. That's always a great trivia question, you know. Name as many of the seven dwarfs as you can. Nobody can remember them all, yeah.
Well, I bet Quentin knows them.
Yeah, there's Dopey, Sneezy, Happy.
That's three.
Then there is...
Doc.
Bashful. Did I say Sleepy?
Grumpy.
And the last one.
Don't look to me for help, because I don't know them either.
The last one. I'm not sure what the last one is.
I can't remember either.
Now, this is, of course, the story of Snow White.
Snow White's in the story, too.
You start out by telling the, you know, what we all know is the story of Snow White.
Right.
And then people come out and say, wait a minute, that's not really this.
The dwarfs come out first. And they demand from the storyteller a nap time, a snack time, before they're going to do any work. And then Snow White comes out, and she says, well, here are the dwarfs, and she chases them back to do their work at their own house.
I forgot about that. That's a song from that show, it right? Is, whistle, yeah. Whistle While You Work.
Whistle While You Work, yep.
Mm-hmm. Whistle While You Work. Do you sing in this show?
Yes, in the beginning and the end, but not that song.
You don't think Whistle While You Work? Mm-hmm. Have you ever heard that song, Quentin?
Mm-hmm.
Just Whistle While You Work.
Not really.
You don't know it, huh?
Yeah.
Have you seen the cartoon? Snow White?
I think I have.
Yeah, I think it's in that cartoon.
The cartoon. There's been a million movies,
Yeah, yeah.
Someday my prince will comment.
That's out there too, yeah. Mm-hmm.
What about you, Isaac? Do you have to do any singing or dancing, or what do you do in this show?
Yeah, I sing the same songs that my brother Quentin does at the beginning and the end.
What songs are they?
It's just our little version of the 12 Days of Christmas and
We Three Kings.
We Three Kings at the end. We just have the same tune, different words.
I wrote the lyrics to go with the show. Then
I see. Now, is that the only? Are you in two of these fairy tales?
Isaac? Hansel and Gretel and Cinderella.
Cinderella. Mm-hmm. So what do you play in Cinderella? The prince?
The fairy godmother. Actually.
The fairy godmother. Wow, that's interesting. Yes.
A comical version of the fairy godmother.
Well, hey, you know, when you get a little bit older, you'll find out that happens sometimes in theater shows, you know? It's the importance of being earnest. It has a character, a great character, Lady Bracknell, who's always played by a man.
A lot of those English plays do that.
So there you go. And Shakespeare. You haven't studied Shakespeare yet, have you?
No, I have not.
That'll probably be coming pretty soon as you go into junior high school. It was extremely common.
Oh, yes.
Have boys playing girls in Shakespeare's time because women didn't.
Those days it was a society of men.
Yeah, yeah. So don't feel bad. Actually, that's kind of a challenge for a young actor, don't you think?
Yeah.
And he's doing quite well with it. Pretty funny.
Excellent. Did you have to change your voice and everything? Or?
Yeah, I do a high-pitched, squeaky voice.
Mm-hmm. And which, did you say you're the fairy godmother or the...
Yeah, the fairy godmother.
Okay. Well, that's the good character, right?
Yes.
So what happens...
Except in this show.
we start the story of Cinderella. Everybody knows the story of Cinderella. She has the evil stepsisters, I believe, right?
Correct.
And the evil... Stepmother. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then she loses her shoe or something like that.
At the ball.
When does it all change? What happens?
Well, we don't get into the story that far. The fairy godmother comes in and brings her dress in, and it's all soiled, so she can't even wear it because it's just all ruined.
Where did this show come from, Ralph Christie?
It's a play by I use the Pioneer Drama company a lot for our plays that we do, and they're very, very funny. It's a very good company. Alexa Alfria wrote this show.
I see a sizable cast, which is not unusual for Sing Hosanna. Are some adults? Or are they all young people?
They are all young people, teenagers to elementary age.
Mm-hmm.
I think, Quentin, you're our youngest, right?
No, there's Simon.
Oh, Simon, yeah, another guy. We have 17 in the cast.
Are you familiar, or have you heard all of these fairy tales, Isaac, or don't kids read fairy tales anymore?
I know all these fairy tales, yeah.
Have you heard any of these stories before, Quentin?
I've heard most of them, or all of them. Most or all of them, yeah.
What do you think about it? What was the book we used to read? Grimm's Fairy Tales?
Yeah.
Grimm's Fairy Tales, and then there was Aesop's Fables.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah. Have you heard of some of those?
Yeah, I've heard of some of them.
Yeah. You're pretty well educated for a sixth grader there, Isaac. Yeah. This show is it's one performance only, right?
Correct, yeah. Mm-hmm. And that will be, with the weather providing, this coming Saturday, January the 19th, it's at 12 noon, and it's going to be at St. Peter's Parish Hall here in Butler, Pennsylvania. Our doors open at 11:30 a.m., but you have to have reservations. So May's Music Shop has tickets right now, and they are available through tomorrow. And if you call, I'll give you my telephone number, and if you call after Wednesday, I can probably still get you in. But we make all our own food.
Yeah, this is dinner theater, so dinner theater. That's why you need advance reservations, so
right.
You know
right.
How much to cook. This is the middle of January. What's on the menu, Ralph?
We are having a beautiful salad, some homemade lasagna accompanied with homemade meatballs, some rolls, a great dessert called a brownie delight, and then we have beverages. And we're also going to be selling our hand-dipped chocolates since we're close to Valentine's Day.
Homemade lasagna sounds pretty good for winter dinner theater.
Yeah, it'll keep you warm.
Good warm comfort food, yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And as you say, you need to get tickets in advance so that you know how
and
much
And the adult tickets are
prepare.
$22 and $7 for children under 10.
And obviously, this is a show that's eminently suitable for kids of any age.
It's very, very funny.
Mm-hmm. You have already started plans for your big spring show. What are you going to do in the spring?
We are going to do Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. This will be our third time for doing it in our history.
Wonderful show. Love that show.
Great, great, great show.
Yeah.
And we just had auditions for the last two nights, and we will have our first rehearsal for our adults this coming Thursday at 7 o'clock at our theater.
Now, this is not going to be till April, right?
April. Yes. It is April the 12th and the 13th.
Boy, that shows how long you have to rehearse to put a show like this together.
Yeah. We always go to Palm Sunday weekend, so it's Palm Sunday weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So Easter is late this year.
Yes. Somebody was telling me that this morning. We weren't talking about shows, but
somebody
mentioned that Easter's pretty late this year. Well, it's been early for a couple of
years.
That's
true, yeah.
It moves around. So auditions are all done. You're ready to cast that.
And anybody can come into the ensemble. You don't have to audition to come into the ensemble.
Mm-hmm.
And I can give people more information about that if they I'll give you my telephone number then.
Mm-hmm.
724-285-3653.
And that's a big cast. And you can use adults and young people in that for sure.
All ages. Age 7 through the senior years.
Let's talk a little bit with our young men who are with us here today. Isaac Hickson, a sixth grader in the Seneca Valley School District at Evan City building. Have you done much theater? You're, 11, 12 years old?
Yeah, I'm 11 years old. I'm almost 12, and I've been with Sing Hosanna since I was 6 or 7, and I've done lots of shows with them. I've done most of my shows with them. I might have done like 3 or 4 with other groups.
That's pretty amazing at age 11. How did you get started doing stuff live on stage? I would never have even thought about that at your age.
Well, my dad's a music teacher, and so he's always just, like, doing musical stuff. And so we found Singers Anna because it's really close to our house, and we've just been doing musicals with them.
Where's your dad teach? Seneca Valley District or somewhere?
No, he actually teaches at Western Beaver.
Mm-hmm. Is your mom also musically inclined?
I mean, she doesn't teach music, but she can sing.
Mm-hmm. So you come from a musical family, huh?
Yeah.
Now, what about your younger brother, Quentin, here, who seems to be battling a little bit of a cough? Are you okay there, buddy?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was just sick over the weekend, so I got a cough afterwards.
Oh, well, we want to get you better for the show this weekend, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, take it easy. Now, you're in third grade, your brother's in sixth grade. Have you done a lot of shows, Quint?
I've done about four shows.
Really?
I've done one show without Singers Anna, and I have been doing it ever since I'm 7, and I'm 8 right now.
Wow. Busy guy.
He is.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's been with us for a couple of years now.
Wow. So you got started just like your brother did, you know? Your parents kind of urged you. Ralph, I think it's great for young people this age to get out on stage in front of the public and perform.
Oh, I agree.
Starting out maybe in small roles and then a little bit bigger because, you know, so many kids go through school, even into high school, and they're petrified. They get right up in front of a crowd and, you know, give a speech or a talk or anything.
That is true, yeah. Yeah, I could never do that when I was their age, no.
Mm-hmm. Well, obviously, it's not a problem for these young men, that's for sure. In fact, Isaac is smiling at me. It's kind of like he can't wait to do it, huh?
Yeah, I can't wait.
Yeah. You think you're going to continue to pursue theater work when you get into high school?
Yeah, I will. I'm actually doing Joseph with Singers Anna right now, so...
And you're also doing what at Seneca Valley?
I'm doing Hello Dolly with Seneca Valley right now, too.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Are you in the ensemble for Hello Dolly?
Yeah, I'm just in the younger ensemble.
Well, heavens, you're only 11 years old, Isaac. Give it a little time here.
Yeah, and they only took like 12 kids from the fifth and sixth grade, so.
Excellent. Well, you should feel pretty good about that. Did you have to try out? Did you have to sing?
Yeah.
And you're singing for people who probably don't know you because, you know, this is mainly an older cast, right? I'm assuming it's senior high school teachers who are doing the auditioning?
Yeah, it's like 9th through 12th grade, but like the adults were doing it. It's the high school musical, and so...
What did you have to sing?
Just a little part like, from one of the songs, and I had to do a little bit of dancing. My older brother, who's in 9th grade, is also in this show,
mm-hmm.
Hello Dolly.
Mm-hmm. Have you had dance training, or have you just picked that up in doing shows over the years?
I did, like, 1 or 2 years of dance when I was really little, so I don't remember much of it, but...
Again, not afraid to do it.
No, he's pretty natural with movement.
Yeah, excellent. Do you help your younger brother along here, or does he do okay on his own?
He does pretty good on his own, but I help him.
It's always been a tradition, Ralph Christie Jr., really since you founded Singers Anna, you cultivate young performers.
Yeah. We figure we probably have had 5,000 kids have gone through our program.
Wow.
And this spring we'll mark our 40th year. So that's
how
exciting.
Did it all come about? How did you get the idea to start a performing arts group, for goodness sakes?
I was the organist and music director at two country churches, and I approached the choirs and said, how about if we do a cantata? And they all looked at me and said, what's a cantata?
Mm-hmm.
So that's how it started. We started.
These were small churches, you mean, out in the country?
Out in the country, yeah.
Rural churches?
Yes, right, yep. And then we just kept growing, and then everybody caught wind we were doing the cantatas, and it was just a singing performance in those days. And other small country churches, people who wanted more than just a church choir experience started coming into the group. And then we ventured out into staging Christmas productions. And that led then to Our Life of Jesus that we did for about 18 years in the area. And then that led to the Broadway stuff. So,
which you continue to do, and you now present several performances a year.
Yeah. Actually, I was just thinking while you were talking, there's opportunity for four different performances within a year with Singers Anna. Two dinner theaters and two major productions.
Mm-hmm. What about you yourself? Did you participate in theater when you were a kid, or how did you get involved in? Obviously, you were you're trained musician and choir director.
Yeah, I was in choir, and I did theater in high school, took some dance lessons, became really interested in choreography. I really enjoyed choreographing, taught some creativity classes, and then continued in college. I was a choreographer at Grove City College for the high school, or for the college musicals there.
Mm-hmm.
So,
are you originally from this area, Ralph?
East Butler.
Okay. So you would have gone to Butler High School then?
I did, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then Grove City College?
Correct.
Yeah. Excellent. I never asked you that before.
No, you didn't.
Yeah. No. Yeah. We're talking about the Sing Hosanna Performing Arts Group Winter Dinner Theater this Saturday. What happened after Once Upon a Time? What time are you opening the doors over there?
We will open the doors at 11:30, and dinner will begin promptly at 12.
Can you name some of the other members in the cast, in addition to Isaac and Quentin, who are here with us in the studio?
Oh, sure. Our two storytellers, and they do a great job because they have to introduce every storyline.
Kind of a narrator type
yes,
thing?
Yes, that's what they are, yep, yep. Leah Harris and Anya Mashmeyer. Then we have Jordan Davis, Tommy Lynn Killian, Fan Archer, Katie Ball, Elena Bestwick, Kylie Spink, Peyton Rockcastle, Simon Archer, Olivia Slater, Miranda Verbally, Camden Rockcastle, Evie Archer, and Emma McDonald.
Large cast.
It is a large cast.
Yeah. Young people.
They're just having a blast. It's just really fun.
I'm looking at Isaac Hickson's shirt here. Is that a Nike swoosh there?
Yeah.
Are you involved in athletics or sports, Isaac?
I've done some basketball, but that's
I'm more
real.
Into the music.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a very musical family. They have, there's five kids in the...
Six kids,
wow, yeah.
And they're all musical.
Well, I don't feel bad about not being good at basketball because I was horrible. I tried, did my very best. It was not even close to being good enough. Tried out for the junior high basketball team. That was my last real effort because I realized I wasn't going anywhere in that sport.
Yeah.
What about you, Quentin? Do you play ball? Do you play any sports?
Well, me and my brother play, like, catch with football.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And I play basketball. I play basketball. But I'm more into music, not basketball.
I see. Well, you could do both, you know. Mm-hmm. Well, you could hum while you're playing basketball. You could do both at the same time.
They're a pretty busy family.
Did you know any of the other cast members before you started this production? Have you made new friends?
Yeah, I knew most of them because I've just done many musicals with Mr. Ralph, so I've seen most of these people before.
Mm-hmm. Now, a show like this, you say it's shorter than your major productions. You still have to put in a lot of rehearsal time? I mean, not all that long since the holidays. It must have been kind of tough.
Well, I run this a little bit different. I say from the beginning, the cast has to learn their words on their own time. I'm not going to babysit lines. And they've been doing really well with that. So we probably have had maybe 10 rehearsals. 12.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's about it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a soundtrack to go with this show?
No, they're going to sing a cappella.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's a challenge. Do you have a pitch pipe or something?
Yep, they just start.
Really?
And then they add some more harmony at the end of the song then.
Well, I'm pretty impressed by that. You must have a couple of fairly good, fairly strong singers to be able to...
Yep.
Start out and lead the way, because if the person that starts out is off base, the whole thing's going to come crashing down.
It's gone quite well.
And there's some dancing. Have you choreographed that yourself, Ralph?
I did. Limited dancing with the songs, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's what happened after Once Upon a Time, Sing Hosanna's Winter Dinner Theater this coming Saturday. One session only. Starts at 12 noon. Dinner doors open at 11:30. And again, this is at St. Peter's
Parish Hall.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little confusing with the parking. The parking's kind of behind the hall. You have to find the entrance into that. So once you find the parking, it's right. You're
you can
close.
Also park on the street.
You
There's
can on
all the street,
street
parking
yeah,
near there. This is right beside St. Peter's Church. It's right across the street from the Butler Middle School.
Right.
I still want to say junior high school.
I will too.
Butler Middle School, and it is there's a meal.
Great meal. Yes, salad, homemade lasagna with homemade meatballs, rolls, and brownie delight, and some beverages.
What about tickets? You really need to get on the stick if you want those because
right.
you're preparing food. So.
Running out of time here. Mays Music has some tickets. If you can't get to Mays, you can call my house, leave a message, and I'll connect you somehow. My telephone number is 724-285-3653.
Some fairy tale stories that are not too familiar. I'm getting the impression that none of them might be familiar, at least the way they wrap up. Well, guys, thanks for stopping in here today. I appreciate you chatting with us. Your parents must be very proud of you.
They are.
You do very well, and you present yourselves very well also. Isaac Hickson and his younger brother, Quinton Hickson, are both visiting with us today along with Ralph Christie, Jr. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Now it's back to school, I guess, huh?
No, they have the rest of the day off.
Rest of the day off. All right. Yeah, good for you guys.
We don't tell their teachers that.
Nice to have you here, guys.
Thank you, Dave.
We'll take a break. We're going to be talking about adult literacy coming up on the It's Your Turn program in just a couple of minutes. So please stick around. We will be back right after these words.
Go to Michael's Restaurant, featuring Italian and American cuisine, daily lunch and dinner specials, prime rib on Fridays and Saturdays, and homemade desserts. Open 7 days a week from 7 to 9, Michael's Restaurant on 422 near the Butler Fairgrounds.
Need to get out of town? Check into Butler Motor Tours. They can get you out of town in style and in comfort on their big luxury cruise buses. Have you checked out their website lately? So many exciting trips coming up. Check out butlerbus.com and find out where they're taking you next. They have trips all over the country. They'll even help you set sail to maybe the Caribbean. Casino trips, historic landmarks, all across the country. No driving, no handling luggage, entertainment, and most meals all can be put together with no worries, all in an inclusive price. Call Butler Motor Tours today for more information, or again, go to their website, butlerbus.com, and check out all of the exciting trips. They especially take care of you around the holidays. Seriously, no better way to travel than Butler Motor Tours.
The doctors and staff at Applewood Chiropractic are hosting a Natural Solutions Hemp Oil Extract informational event Wednesday, January 23rd at 6 p.m. Mike Gallagher, a certified lifestyle educator and consultant, will discuss hemp extract oil, how it works, what forms are best, what to look out for, and how it correlates to pain, brain, and inflammation. You do not have to be an Applewood Chiropractic patient to attend. Space is limited. Call 724-283-8894. Applewood Chiropractic Health and Fitness Center, Thornapple Drive, Butler. The Knock Knights return home Tuesday night to take on an old foe, and we'll be there. Hi, everyone. This is Scott Briggs inviting you to join me as the Knock Knights host the Freeport Yellow Jackets. The Knights are the top team in the section while the Yellow Jackets trying to keep their playoff hopes alive. We'll be on the air at 7:15 with a tip-off slated for 7:30. Knock basketball here in 2019 presented in part by the John W. Thrower Cement Corporation of Saxonburg, Troy Allen Chevrolet in Slippery Rock, and Troy Allen Buick in Katanning, the law firm of Dillon, McCandless, King, Coulter, and Graham, Tri Rivers Musculoskeletal Centers, the Butler Health System's Faster Care, Butler County District Attorney Rich Goldinger, and Heffron Tillison agent Mike McKee. It's Knock and Freeport, the backyard brawl, coming up this Tuesday night right here on WISR, WISR680.com, and the Trib Live High School Sports Network.
Welcome back, good friends. It's the Tuesday edition of It's Your Turn, Tuesday, January 15th. You know what that means. We're halfway through the month of January, and so far, so good. I mean, we haven't had picnic weather, but boy, compared to last year, our weather hasn't been too bad this month of January. A little chilly, but not too bad. That might change. Probably will before we get out of the month. But we're halfway through. That's the good news. Hey, we welcome our next guests. We're going to be talking about adult literacy. And we say hello to Barb Gade, who is the director of the Butler County Community College Adult Literacy Program. Barb, nice to have you here today.
Thank you. It's nice to be here, Dave.
Also with us is an author, a guest author, Tom Bennett. Tom, nice to meet you.
Happy to be here.
Are you from this area?
I am. I grew up in Butler Township, prior to Butler High School. Grew up just down the road from BC3, where my mother taught. So, and bounced around the country for several years before landing back here. So,
well, I'm anxious to talk to you. And nice to talk to. Nice to have a local author here. Let's talk about literacy. First of all, Barb, I want to mention this initially just in case some folks are listening in the car and they might have to leave us before we wrap up. There is an upcoming literacy luncheon. I'm correct on that?
Yes, we're having the luncheon for literacy on January 27th, which is a Sunday from 1 to 4. And it's a real fun event. We've had it a couple of times in the past, and it's fun to go to because the tables are decorated. People pick out their favorite book and then decorate their tables according to that theme. And so the luncheon is there to raise money for adult literacy. It's sponsored by the PM Rotary of Butler. They paired up with us a couple times in the past and have helped us to raise money so that we can provide scholarshiping for students to take their GED tests.
Where does this luncheon take place?
It's going to be at the BC3 main campus in Founders Hall.
I still have to stop myself and not refer to that building as the Convocation Center because that's what it used to be years
yeah,
ago.
That, yeah.
But Founders Hall is a very appropriate name, and I always have to catch myself. When's the date?
It is January 27th, and it's from 1 to 4, although the doors will open at 12 o'clock. So we're having the luncheon. Tom is going to be doing a reading from his book. And we're also having a raffle of baskets that from donations from the local merchants.
Is open to anybody that wants to come?
Absolutely anybody can come. We somebody said, is it just a luncheon for ladies? And it's like, no, men and women are invited to it. We've had themes in the past. I can remember going and somebody had picked the book A River Runs Through It.
Yes.
And the favor at the table for that was the one of the gentlemen had hand-tied some flies. So you got hand-tied flies for fly fishing.
That was made into a film. Robert Redford, I think.
That's right. Brad Pitt. Great one. Yeah.
Yeah, good film. So who picks their book and does this design? Is that people who have come through the program or anybody? Or
it's what? Anybody. We open it up to anybody. And we still have, I think, six tables left. So there's six openings for people to decorate a table if they should choose to do so. And what they need to do is choose a book, have a new copy of the book that they're decorating, have some sort of centerpiece, and a place setting for people and a favor for people to take away.
What a great idea. Yeah. If somebody's hearing about this for the first time, how do they participate? Do they call you or something like that?
They can call Anne Baglier, and her telephone number is 724-679-5443. Or Sue Edwards. These are two ladies from the Rotary. And Sue's telephone number is 724-283-7363. And if they want to sponsor a table, or they can also purchase tickets for the luncheon.
How long has the adult literacy program been going on at BC3? Probably long before you were there.
Yes, it was in, I believe, 1986, I think, was the first year, and that they had the adult literacy program, that it was begun, and it was primarily to prepare people for the GED classes, but they did have some ESL classes, English as a second language classes at the time as well. And so, you know, we've been growing each year. This past year, we was a competition year for the grants because we're entirely funded through grants. So mostly through a state and local grant or state and federal grant for the Title II programs. And this year, we wrote for three counties instead of just Butler County.
Mm-hmm.
But the luncheon is to support just Butler County. We have two sub-grantees in Mercer and Lawrence County.
Have you heard whether or not you've been successful in getting grant money or not yet? Or?
Oh, yes. We did get granted the three counties. They gave us a grant for $639,000 and $639,188 of that, almost $283,000 is for Butler County alone.
Mm, wonderful.
Yeah,
wonderful.
So, and they enlarged the number of people we're to reach. Used to be 217 for just Butler County, and now it's up to 240. And overall, for all three counties, we're to serve 549 students.
I want to talk in a few minutes here in a little bit more detail about people going through the program.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to talk a little bit, first of all, with Tom about his book. You have a copy of it with you here.
I do. Yeah, it's a thriller. It's called Burning Under. It centers around a coal mine explosion in Southwest Pennsylvania, and it's a shifting point of view that the narrative shifts between a surviving miner and then the widow of one of the victims, and then a disgruntled lawyer for the coal company who becomes sort of the whistleblower. So it's this unlikely trio that sort of come together to try to bring down this corrupt mining company and the CEO. And I it's an idea that sort of I got about 10 years ago. I was actually doing some work in the Pittsburgh area I was doing compliance work for a mining company and sort of had an inside view of that. So, it's been kind of a weird 10-year journey along the way. I've been doing a lot of teaching of English and writing, you know, to pay the bills. But it was published this fall by a Stephen F. Austin University Press published it.
Oh,
so
wonderful!
Yeah. Happy to.
Have you written other books, or is this your first one?
This is the first one. I've written lots of published some short fiction and that kind of thing, and I've got a second one that's in the process, in the very early stages. But it's kind of a weird addiction that I have to. I definitely want to try to keep going with it, but I did a reading for how I got involved with the luncheon. I was doing a reading at BC3 in the fall, and Ann Baglier asked me to be part of the Rotary luncheon. And to me, it's not only a great cause, but it's kind of full circle. And since my mom worked at BC3, and then my dad was a Rotary member for many years, so it's kind of fun to be helping to give back.
There are many listeners who would have known your late mom, Sue Bennett.
Yeah. She was a big part of the community, and we lost her about 5 or 6 years ago. But
your father Fred, also great community champion.
Yeah, he's still kicking around. He's still kicking around here somewhere. My family, my wife and a 3-year-old son. We recently moved back to the area, which is nice for us to be closer. So yeah.
Do you teach?
I actually teach part-time English and writing at BC3. This is my first year doing it. I spent a year at Penn State Altoona and then spent 4 years teaching in Nebraska. So moved around quite a bit.
Do they still call Penn State Altoona Tuna Town? Do you know that?
I'm not sure.
Did not hear that. Makes sense.
I dated a girl who went there for her first 2 years of school.
Okay.
And she would always say that and thought it was hilarious. And that's probably why the relationship didn't go anywhere. every time I hear. Isn't it funny how something like that for decades can stick in your mind? I hear Altoona.
Yeah,
and I think of that.
I hear, you know, I think of railroads, you know, and Altoona, for sure.
The big curve out there, Horseshoe Curve, I think it's called.
And their baseball team's called the Altoona Curve as well.
So. Indeed, which is a farm club of the Pirates, by the way.
Yeah.
So the title of your book is Burning Under.
Yeah, you can find it on Amazon, online retailers, a few bookstores.
Will you have copies at the luncheon?
I will, there'll be about 15 or 20 copies available for sale. So if anyone's interested, you can pick one up there.
Well, that's good. Yeah. Most readings that I've been to, the author has a few copies that are available.
Yeah.
Usually the author will be more than happy to sign a copy for someone.
Absolutely,
who wants to pick it up.
Yeah, yeah. We'll do that.
Have you done a lot of readings of your other work?
With this one, since October, I've done about four or five readings, mostly local. I did the Riverstone Books in the North Hills, BC3. I did a bookstore up in State College, and then I did a couple of bookstores in Mississippi, which is where I did my master's in creative writing. So that was. It was fun to go back there and see some old friends. So yeah, it's been fun. I've had to, as I was telling Barb, with the university press, they don't have a publicity department. They don't really throw a lot of money at you. You have to be creative and doing your own doing your own PR. You know, just going on social media and trying to promote things. But
I'm so happy that we're having that. We don't have a lot of readings around here.
No.
Would you say so, Barb? And,
you know,
in some other countries. I've been blessed to study in Ireland a bit, Irish literature, and I have readings all the time over there. Yeah.
I think Tom was the first author to come to the Heaton Learning Complex to do the reading. So so that's nice that he agreed to come to our function.
Well, I think it's wonderful to hear an author read from his own work because mm-hmm. – that really gives you some insight into, you know, what he or she was thinking about whenever they wrote it.
Yeah, it's fun.
A little bit of pressure maybe to stand up there and perform. Some writers are outstanding writers, but a little nervous when they're speaking.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that the poets are very good at sort of performing their work. I think the ones who really have the, many of whom are Irish, you know, the old Irish poets. But I'm primarily a fiction writer, so it took a little bit of getting used to. But yeah, no, it is fun. There's that performative aspect, and it's that interactive aspect too, because it is a solitary. Writing is a solitary endeavor, so it's nice to interact with an audience. So.
One of the most famous Irish poets, well, I would say modern, but of all time, really, the late Seamus Heaney.
Mm-hmm.
I heard him read a couple of times, by the way.
Oh.
But he is of the firm belief that poetry is meant to be heard.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it is.
Not just written. And he even espouses if you're reading poetry by yourself, read it out loud so that you can hear the rhythm and so on that the writer intended. That you really just can't, if you're just reading it mentally, silently, you don't really hear, you know. He was a big proponent of that. And, of course, I don't know whether you've ever heard any recordings of he was just superb when
he was
reading his stuff.
He's got a great voice. Yeah.
Yeah. I have a signed copy of a couple of Seamus Heaney's books of poetry.
So. Yeah, it really can come alive. I mean, you know, just in the same way as I heard you mention Shakespeare in the last segment. You know,
mm-hmm.
when you watch a Shakespeare play or see a great production of it, it takes just a different form than just reading it from the book.
So this is a novel that you have here. How do you select readings? Do you just do a page or two here and there to kind of
there's a couple of passages, sort of go-to passages. You know, one's just sort of the opening of the book, and then one's kind of a crucial part during the explosion. And I would sort of switch back and forth. I think I read from the part that at BC3 that describes the town of Millburg, which is, you know, loosely based on Butler, like a Rust Belt kind of town. Mm-hmm. But I had to kind of do some explaining because there were I would use different specific names from some, you know, bar names from Butler or Ambridge or Katani. So it was some kind of a mashup of different Rust Belt towns, confusing people. So it's fun.
That's wonderful. How long did it take you to write this?
Yeah, off and on. I'd say the last 4 or 5 years I've been sort of working on it. But again, that was mostly in in spare time or in summers, you know.
Do you have an editor or somebody that you could trust to read advanced copies?
Yeah, 3 or 4 close readers that I definitely trusted to read early drafts that really sort of helped me to figure out the direction of it. Yeah, and it started out I think as many first novels as like a much longer sort of serious literary novel, and then it slowly turned into more of a genre kind of thriller. And it's under 200 pages. It's meant to be accessible to a wide audience. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
So can you give us a little bit of a hint about the plot? Do you have main characters, or do you jump back and forth between families? Or?
Yeah, it's basically just the three main characters. Larry, who's a veteran miner. Denise is a widow of one of the victims. She's a Pittsburgh nurse, and then Simon, who is the whistleblowing attorney, and it's about them. They all have sort of three very different socioeconomic sort of, you know, looks at the explosion and how it affects a community, but it's about them sort of coming together and really wanting to try to find justice. And they file kind of a wrongful death lawsuit against the company. So there are some legal elements, but mainly it's mainly a novel about relationships and about sort of revenge, because the George, who's kind of the evil CEO, he's not willing to, he's willing to do a lot to not let them get away with this, and so it becomes kind of a pursuit.
Sounds interesting, doesn't it,
Barb? It does. It sounds like a very good book.
Yeah. Go pick up a coffee. See what happens.
We'll take a break. We'll come back talk more with our guests, Barb and Tom, here on It's Your Turn on WISR. We will be back right after these words. One of our sponsors on the program today is Gone Postal Butler, your friendly neighborhood shipping center. They package your items for shipping. How convenient is that? You don't have to worry about finding a box that's the right size, too big, too little, whatever. You don't have to hunt for the bubble wrap or the mailing labels or anything. Just take your items up to Gone Postal Butler. They'll package them up and they'll ship them out any way you want. U.S. Postal Service, FedEx, UPS, your choice. They're located just off Newcastle Road, right behind King's and Villa Grande restaurants in the Shockey Mini Storage Complex. Call for more info, 724-841-0044. It's your friendly neighborhood shipping center, Going Postal Butler. Give them a try.
When you want a home-cooked meal at a reasonable price, go to Michael's Restaurant. Featuring Italian and American cuisine, daily lunch and dinner specials, prime rib on Fridays and Saturdays, and homemade desserts. Open 7 days a week from 7 to 9, Michael's Restaurant on 422 near the Butler Fairgrounds.
Choices, decisions, quality health care. These are important issues that really hit home. It's a good thing that Concordia Visiting Nurses is here to help. Home health care can help you or your loved one recuperate from an illness, manage a chronic disease, or recover from an injury or operation right in your own home. If you're in need of home health care, choose Concordia Visiting Nurses. Call toll-free at 1-877-352-6200.
Whether you're a competitive athlete or a weekend warrior, any injury that keeps you on the sidelines should be treated by a sports medicine expert. Tri-Rivers Musculoskeletal Centers offers sports medicine specialists right here in Butler to get you back to enjoying the activities you love. Doctors Rob Waltrip, Josh Szabo, and John Richmond have trained with some of the biggest names in orthopedic sports medicine and use their expertise to treat you. Tri-Rivers accepts most major insurance plans, including both Highmark and UPMC. Learn more at TriRiversMSK.com. Tri-Rivers Musculoskeletal Centers, partnering with the Butler community for more than 20 years.
Did you buy a car, truck, or SUV last year thinking you were going to get 0% or some other low-rate finance offer and then drove off the lot with a much higher rate? Don't worry. Armco Credit Union has the solution. Refinance with us and get a 60-month loan on a 2016 or newer vehicle for just 2.24% APR. We've got low rates on older models, too. It's never been easier to join, so call any of our four branch locations today or visit us at armcocu.com for membership and rate information. Armco Credit Union is an equal opportunity lender and is federally insured by NCUA.
Talking about literacy, the adult literacy program at Butler County Community College, the director there is Barb Gade. Can you sign up for this at any time during the year, or are there certain times when you start classes? How does that work, Barb?
We do kind of follow the semester schedule. Mm-hmm. Like, we have summer classes, we have fall classes, and we have spring classes. But you, for the most part, our high school equivalency classes, HSE, where you're preparing to take the GED or the HISET tests, they are open enrollment classes. So we have orientations every month. So students can go through the orientation and then come enter into the classes.
Are the classes at various times of the day? I mean,
yes.
If somebody is working, for example?
Mm-hmm. We have them here in Butler. We have a daytime class or a morning class. First United Methodist Church, First Church, has opened their doors to us. So we hold a class there in the mornings. We're going to be starting a class at the end of this month on the 28th at the Center for Community Resources.
On South Main Street.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. In the afternoons. So from 1 to 4, we'll do classes there. And then in the evenings here in Butler, we have a class at the main campus on Mondays and Wednesdays, so 6 to 9. So we're trying to accommodate everybody's work schedule, you know, help them to be able to come to classes. A lot of people, although we do have public transportation, which a lot of smaller communities do not have, some people just find it difficult to get out to the campus, and that's when First Church opened their doors to us. They've been a very good partner with us and generous partner with us to allow us to have that. And the same thing for CCR. We're just beginning that afternoon class there. Prior to that, we did have classes in the afternoon down at Career Link, but the classroom was fairly small, and so we moved to the CCR, and they're downsizing a bit too. So,
do you have instructors or facilitators?
Yes, all of our instructors have at least a bachelor's degree. Most of them have a teaching license, and they're really good. They care about their students. They make sure to encourage the students to see it as a possibility, because a lot of times when people come, they have some. Just recently, one of the students that spoke to the Rotary last night, actually, one of our former graduates, said she was embarrassed about the fact that she hadn't completed her education in high school. And so they come with a little bit of emotional baggage. And so we have very caring teachers. And we also have a great core of volunteers that work with the students as well. So
it was a... I've been trying to remember it, and I can't. It's a movie that's got to go back 12, maybe 15 years, talking about the stigma, the embarrassment of, you know, not being able to read well when you're an adult.
The one with Jane Fonda?
Was it Jane Fonda and Robert De Niro?
Yes.
Was that what it was?
Yes.
And it was just a gosh darn good movie.
Mm-hmm, it was.
Really,
it was
really
a very good.
Good
movie.
De Niro, of course, was a grown man, and he was employed. I mean, but he couldn't read.
Right.
And it was very embarrassing for him. And Jane Fonda then was his, like, his private tutor.
Mm-hmm.
Just a fascinating. You know the film?
I do know the film, and I can't think of the title of it. I can't think of the title.
I haven't seen it in years and years.
Right, right. It has been a while since I saw that. So a lot of the students have the ability to read, and our classes aren't just high school equivalency classes. We also have classes in downtown Butler, the Butler Blind Association. We have a class that is for life skills, so being able to get along in life, and we have some emerging readers in that classroom. So that would be more like the Robert De Niro person can be in that. But a lot of our students are between the ages, majority of our students are between the ages of 20 and 30. We have them as young as 16, and we have served somebody that was 73.
Oh, wow.
And the 73-year-old was getting her GED, and she just wanted to do it.
These classes, are they expensive?
They are free to the public. We are totally funded by the state and federal government. We get support from local agencies. BC3 obviously supports us quite a bit because they give us the classrooms, and so we're able to use that. First Church does not charge us for the classrooms that we use there. CCR is not charging us for the classrooms. So that allows us to be able to expand, spend our money on good teaching so that we can reach many different places. We also have classes down in Cranberry at the BC3 Cranberry campus. But we do things other than that. We also have a personal finance class that we built in collaboration with the Butler Housing and also the Deshaun Place, so that people can learn good financial themes and how to do their finances better, so that they make better decisions. We also have classes for English as a second language. We're running classes now in Butler and down in Cranberry. Those classes we hadn't run for about 5 years, and now we see a population. I think last night down in Cranberry we had 8 students that were coming to come to the ESL class. So
wonderful.
That's yeah, that's very good.
Well, a lot of good programs, Tom. This is great, isn't it? Adult literacy program at BC3.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful for the community. Yeah,
terrific. I'm pleased to see young people appear to be reading more as well, and we can. Thank J.K. Rowling for that as much as anything, I think, with the whole Harry Potter series, you know, really.
Harry Potter, The Hunger Games also.
The Hunger Games lit a fire under
kind of young readers.
Redefined the YA genre.
Yes.
It really got a lot of people reading.
True.
A lot of adults, too.
I know a lot of adults who have read both of those series. Absolutely. It may be listed as young adult literature, but I know a lot of much older people that read them and enjoyed them. Yeah. And listen, coming up, if you joined us a little bit late, coming up on January 27th, which is a Sunday, I believe.
Yes,
is that
it
right,
is.
Barb?
It's a Sunday without football. We made sure.
That's right. It'll be the Sunday between the Sunday before the Super Bowl.
Right, yeah, right.
You got to do that around here. It's the Literacy Luncheon. Give us the nuts and bolts of that once again.
Okay, the Literacy Luncheon will be on Sunday, January 27th from 1 to 4 o'clock. It is a wonderful luncheon. It's catered by Stevens Catering. People may be more aware of Porky's was the name for it. So they're going to be catering the luncheon. We're going to have a reading by Tom Bennett and on his new book, Burning Under. We'll have some basket raffles. We will have just a really good time. The themes of the each table is decorated in the theme of a book. The people that decorate the tables get to pick their favorite book and then decorate the tables accordingly. And we've had some really good decorations in the past, and look forward to that again. We're very fortunate that the PM Rotary, Butler PM Rotary, has chosen us to work with us to put together this luncheon. The ladies of the Rotaries have done a wonderful job of putting this together.
Terrific. And again, that's coming up January 27th, a couple of Sundays down the road. Open to anyone who wants to attend.
Right, right.
And Tom Bennett will be there reading from Burning Under. Tom, it was a delight to meet you today. I'm glad you could stop by.
Thanks so much, and love to come back sometime.
Yeah. What are so you're teaching college-age kids, some traditional, some non. What are they reading these days?
Yeah, I just got out of a class with some creative writing students in a pretty diverse group, but a lot of them, they actually mentioned George R.R. Martin as their favorite author, the Game of Thrones author. So,
I
guess they're reading that these days.
That's big.
Yeah.
It used to be, there was a book, and then maybe years later there was a movie. Now sometimes it goes the other way around. You know, there's a popular TV series or a film that gets turns up in book form, which is good.
Yeah.
Well, nice to have you here.
Thanks.
Tom Bennett and Barb Gade are visiting with us on It's Your Turn today. That wraps up our show. Don't forget Penguin Hockey tonight here on WI. Actually, we have a doubleheader tonight. We've got Knock Boys Basketball, Knock hosting Freeport at 7:15, and then tonight, stay up late, listen to the Penguins here on WISR. They're out in California playing the Sharks tonight, San Jose Sharks, and that starts at 9:30. I'm Dave Malarkey. Hope to see you tomorrow on It's Your Turn, 12:30.
Thanks for joining us for today's edition of It's Your Turn with Dave Malarkey here on WISR 680 AM. Today's broadcast is also archived for you online at WISR680.com. Tune in again next time for Dave Malarkey's It's Your Turn, weekdays from 12:30 to 1:30, right here on WISR 680.
I'm a little